we're gonna take a look at this idea of what that every man that how does it spell? Let's go there. 1 John chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1, because it's all connected. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now that's the only possibility of purifying ourselves is repentance. And the repentance comes from seeing, as you see more and more of him, the repentance goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's that progression that it's talking about. And it is automatic if you truly see him. Because you fall down on your face as dead. The same way Ezekiel did. The same way all the rest of them did. All right. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifest to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So the whole, again, these are just different words for repentance. But it never stops until repentance is the way of life. It's not a morbid thing, it's just a recognition of the emptiness that you're only a vessel, and that everything must be about the mind of Christ, not you any longer. Well, then we're going to study this. Taking a look at this. What Jesus did in those first 3.5 years.
In verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. It's talking about Christ.
Right. And he alone is born of God.
Alone, right. And then it contrasted with the children of the devil,
right,
which is the whole human race.
Right. Okay, go to Luke 22. Again, this one verse in verse 28. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. You are they that have continued with me in my temptations. I can't talk about this enough. That's the definition of a disciple. You are they that have continued with me in my temptations. Now, he continued with us, but do we continue with him? Let's go to Hebrews 4. You understand, there's two temptations or testing. You can either tell either one. There's two levels of testing. You continue with him in his test, and he continues with you in your test. You got that? Let's go to Hebrews 4:15.
We're just continuing. Which side of the fence is this on?
We're going to see. Let's go to 4:15. Hebrews 4, I don't know yet where we're going. I said it first, but it's, I don't know yet. We have to read Hebrews 4 from the beginning to get this. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, them meaning the wilderness. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as it is said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We cease from our own works, therefore we cease from our own temptations. Our own test is leveled, is gone when we cease from our own works. It's only when we are trying to accomplish something that we have works. Amen? Now, that's what Christ did for those first 3.5 years. He, before his baptism, the temple was now built and the wall was finished at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. And so for those 70 years, for those 3.5 years of the first 70th week, last 70th week, Jesus, his whole mystery was he fulfilled the law in terms of its pattern, if you will, in the temple. He cleansed the temple twice. The first time he cleansed it was when the temple first opened. And then you can't imagine what kind of all the people that wanted to get in from all over the world, and So they had the money changers were the ones that were the only way you had to pay according to the law, you had to pay this for either for the animal or for the what do you call it, that one tax that everybody paid. But anyway, you had to pay it in shekels. And so the money changers, these people came from all over the place, and they had different kinds of money. And so they had to exchange it for shekels, because a shekel was the only coin that was allowed or that was legal in the temple. And so the first thing time he did, he overthrew the money changers, because they were apparently not in the court of Gentiles, because they would have been okay there, but they had moved into the court of Israel, or at least the court of women. And I mean, there's nobody way we can ever know, but that's just what I believe. And so
this was after his baptism.
No. The first time anyway, that's another story. I believe the first time was the first when he first went into the temple, but that's another story. We don't have to. That's not important.
Okay.
All right. Now, excuse me. He fulfilled the covenant. Let me read that. I'm not remembering too clearly, so stay there, but I'm going to go back to Daniel a minute. "70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times." So, for that first 3.5 weeks, he was fulfilling the covenant, even as in troublous times. After the wall was built, the temple was dedicated. It wasn't totally finished, but once the wall was built, then it was legal for the temple to start the sacrificial system. Herod built the temple, as you know. It took him 46 years to build a temple. I mean, it was more than one Herod that was in that process. It started, you know, I can't remember exact date, but it was obviously B.C., like 19 B.C. or something. And then it was finished to the point where they could have the sacrificial systems. And again, for the most part, Herod paid for this because he was trying to get in good with all the Jews. He had 10, and if, don't quote me on this, but I think it was 10,000 priests that did all the work, because they couldn't have, they had to be priests to do the work to rebuild the temple. It was just one of the most beautiful structures in the history of the world. It was built out of white marble, and it had gold fleck in it, and it was just, so the outside had a wavy pattern, so when the sun was going by, it looked like the waves. It was incredibly beautiful. And so the first 3.5 years, he fulfilled the law in terms of its typical form in that temple. Until he saw the end of that. He saw the emptiness of that. I don't know whether he saw the emptiness of it because he had to go through that for him to see that it was all about him. I don't know. But anyway, we know that he had already probably seen the emptiness of his mind, because he was doing all this with his mind. He was depending on God and praying to God and dealing with God, but he still was using his mind as Son of Man until he found the end. He saw the silliness. He saw the emptiness of it. It couldn't be fulfilled. And so that's when he was baptized. It prefigured his death, but it was his burial. That's why our baptism must be our burial, including our mind. And then the question is, after that burial, after our baptism, do we continue with him in his test, or do we return to our own? Now, on Hebrews 4, and this is where we're studying, because again, we cease from all our own labors when we enter that rest. We see the Sabbath is no longer a day, it's a person, and that person is our life. And we've ceased from our own labors of any kind. Now, then, in verse 10, in Hebrews, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from him. Now, you can't say, here's what has to happen. Everybody says, well, the work I'm doing as unto God. It's your work. Because the work is still leading you. Does that communicate?
Yeah, we can't just do work and call it God's work.
Right, but that's what people do.
Yeah.
But now we got, this is a crossover point. This is why the 70th week is so important. Christ in the first 3.5 years was doing his work as a sacrificial, the same way that everybody else did. Until he saw that it was fulfilled in him. Then he ceased totally from his own labor. He ceased from his own mind. He had the mind of Christ after his baptism, and that was total and complete emptiness to the point of a vacuum. Now, here's what we're getting. Verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There's a labor to enter the rest. That doesn't make any sense until you understand it, until you see what has happened. You labor to enter the rest, and the labor is repentance. Now, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's that scripture is all about whether or not you're doing your own work or God's work. You understand that? It's a discerner. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even asunder soul and spirit, and down even to the dividing the marrow from the bone. Now, and its purpose is to see whether you test the word of God here, this word, it tests you whether or not you're continuing in your own labors or you've entered the rest. That's what this is all about. Now, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Now, this is important because we can't con him. And again, don't you understand? We want to con him. Part of the reason I went through all this study is I wanted to say to God, well, I'm going to now... after that guy came and wanted me to run for governor, I wanted to say, no, I was tempted for a minute to say, okay, I'm going to run for governor for God.
Right.
Or I'm going to do anything for God, but I'm going to continue my own life. And that's a massive temptation. But in the study of the scriptures, that's why I studied. It's quick and powerful. It makes manifest. It just destroyed my hypocrisy about that issue. Now watch. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What is the profession? Christ in us, the only hope of glory. He is our only life. Now then, this is the one. This is the biggie. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, or our weaknesses is what it says, not infirmities, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he never returned back. He did the same thing that he had the same thing. Oh, I can be high priest. I can fix the world. I can do all these things. So he was tested in all ways as we are, up from his birth, up to the bar mitzvah, up to his baptism. He was tested in all ways as we are. From his baptism on, that's where we must continue with him in his test, and that test is only external. This is where
it seems like it's saying all point tempted like as we are, even up before his baptism without sin. That's what it's saying.
Yeah, forever up to the baptism. Then after that, he continued in his test. Then he defined he defined disciples then are those that continue in his temptation, not in ours. Now watch. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now we come boldly unto the throne of grace because now we're no longer believers in the world, hiding under the blood. We're no longer teenagers running around to the wilderness. We're not even there in the promised land. Now we are seated with him on the mercy seat. We come boldly into that throne of grace. Amen? All right. Now, so here the question is, he is with us in our testings, our temptations, but are we with him in his? That's the eternal question. Now, the temptations of Christ have absolutely no home in human nature. There's no possibility that... What was that? Oh, I thought it was a motorcycle. Do you understand that? There's no possibility. The temptations of Christ after the baptism have absolutely no home in human nature. There's no way you could understand this. It was only in the emptiness, the mind of Christ, that you can continue with his temptations. Just as he was totally dependent only on the Father for anything. He never judged according to his senses. He was no longer a brute beast. Because a son of man, the baptism was buried him as son of man. Your baptism must bury you as son of man. So now your only life is Christ.
Humans can't empty. That's the only thing we can do. Empty, repent.
Right. Now, go to John 8. This is when Jesus is talking to the disciples that believed on his name. And then in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We are one father, even God. the same fiction that we believe God is our father and all man is our brother, they believed. But they believed it with more credibility because That's their whole system of thought from the time of Abraham on, that they had a right to the birth. Their birthright was that they had a right to the kingdom of God by their birthright. They didn't have to do anything to get in. Because we're there. That's what we believe. That's what the world believes now. Christians believe, oh, I'm born. I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Now I'm guaranteed access. No. It breaks my heart that so many people are walking in deception. The idea All right, so he's talking to the Jews that believed on him. And then he said, or they said, they answered and said unto him, in verse 39, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father are all you are capable of willing to do. That anything you can will with the mind are the deeds of your father. That's what it says. Satan doesn't tempt us to do wrong. We will to do wrong. Because we will, all the core of all of our will is self-realization. What the temptation of Christ is to lose our possibility of being of value to God by shifting our point of view from God to man. Just so subtle. Now, watch what God shifts your circumstances and see whether you continue with the mind of Christ or do you side with man. That's why it says in John, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. The temptations of Christ continued during his life after baptism, and they continue in you. As he is in this world, so are we. Because otherwise you're going to constantly move and to try to shield and protect yourself, and you and yours. Because that's the nature of the beast. It's part of self-realization. And that's the opposite of the mind of Christ. You never shield yourself. You never protect yourself. You're at risk all the time. Now, everybody doesn't come to this place instantly. But all I'm asking you to do, if you're not there, then say, Father, if you have to do what you do, then say, at least take the lowest seat. But you can't water down the word. This is what it says. There's no private interpretation of Scripture. This is the fruit of the cross. This is the preaching of the cross.
Amen. Yeah. It's scary. We don't like it. But
it scares the hell out of you. It scared the hell out of me. We didn't start till late. I forgot. So we'll continue on there. Now, I don't want any of you, I don't want you, I'm not doing this to blow your mind or to do anything, except if it doesn't seem possible for you to do it, take the lowest seat. But you can't take the lowest seat if you believe your way is right. But can you see why this 3.5 years was so important? Because that's where we can continue using our mind. Because that's not... But once we are baptized, then we must be in agreement. We must confess the same thing. That's why baptism is so important. But again, it may take a few times before it happens. But you've got to end up seeing that you must continue with him in his test, no longer yours.
Is our ultimate baptism when we finally repent of that ultimate repentance you talk about?
I never talked about the ultimate repentance.
Well, you talk about repentance not to be repented of.
Right. Except we all repent because none of us are perfect. Right? I mean, the goal is, because it's available, is repentance not to be repented of. Because repentance here is death. Anybody else? Take it big time.